Not all guarantees are created equal. That's what makes the Total Trust Guarantee from Speedy Oil Change and Auto Service so special. It gives you 20/20 vision into the work we do. And now, you can get $10 off any 17-point oil change. Go to speedyoil.com/save for details. Speedy Oil Change and Auto Service, where you're in and out and back on the road with full service and total trust. Most vehicles discount off regular price. See store for details. See website for details on the Total Trust Guarantee.
Gabe Kapler, manager of the San Francisco Giants, joins us courtesy of the UMA guest line. Gabe, what's going on, man? How are you?
Tom, Adam, great to be here with you. As I heard the call on the Yaz homer, kind of pictured it in my mind. And is there a prettier swing in the game than Mike Yastrzemski when he hits the homer? I'm not sure there is. It's about as nice a stroke as there is out there. It's pretty cool to watch.
That's a good call. Because he's got that sort of drop the bat head. He does sort of the Barry Bonds thing, too, where he swings the bat behind him and then he just kind of drops it. Something about left-handed swings leading towards first always look nice.
Yeah, without question. I mean, definitely left-handed swings leaning towards first. But I think in specific, the smoothness of Yaz's swing and how he knows it's a homer when he hits it.
Yeah.
Just kind of a cool thing to watch.
So why are we've talked about this forever, and no one's ever come up with an answer for it. Why are left-handed swings prettier than right-handed swings?
I don't know. It's a good question. I was a right-handed hitter. I had the ugliest swing of all time. So I always wanted to be left-handed just to have it just look a little bit better. So I don't have the answer to that question.
Yeah, see, no one does.
Nobody
but it's
does.
Like you think of like the prettiest swings, and you get Strawberry and Griffey Jr. and Will Clark,
yep.
And you go on and on. Now Manny Ramirez had a pretty sweet swing for a right-hander, and so does my girl Cabrera. But for most part, you look at lefties. I don't know what it is. Like a lefty going the opposite way, it just looks cool. You're like, wow, I'm just out to left field and you run to first base. A righty going to right field the opposite way, it's like, eh.
You run towards the ball.
Yeah, it's okay.
Yeah.
I will say this. We have one of the prettiest right-handed swings in baseball in Evan Longoria as well. He's got a really smooth, graceful stroke. There are a lot of right-handed hitters who, as you mentioned, are just kind of falling off towards third base, and then they have to run to first base, so that might explain some of it.
You know, the other one is you had Buster Posey last year, too. He had a pretty right-handed swing. He had a nice one.
Yeah, that was a nice one for sure.
So let me ask you about the team now. You're about, I can't remember the exact date we started, about 35 games or so into the season. What can you learn about a team this early on?
I think we have a lot of the same high-quality, intangible characteristics of the 2021 group. I mean, we saw it yesterday, right? Sensatella goes down and left-handed pitcher comes in the game, and all of a sudden we're starting to pinch hit for guys, and Tommy La Stella gets one at bat, and then we pinch hit for him with Darren Ruff, and somehow, some way, these guys are completely unselfish about it. But one thing that I wanted to mention is it doesn't mean that they don't feel the sting of it. Because Tommy La Stella certainly wanted to play 9 innings of baseball or more yesterday and contribute to a team win. And, I mean, I know what it feels like to get pinch hit for. It doesn't feel good. But these guys are putting aside some of that discomfort. And I think they have a good understanding that, like, Darren Ruff got some important at-bats yesterday. That was really helpful. So I guess one thing that's very similar to the 2021 group is that these guys understand game strategy very well. They're interested in it. They talk about it. And they really pull for their teammates. Again, unselfish nature, team-first mentality, that's something that we've learned early this season.
How often have you seen that throughout the course of your career in baseball, where everyone just is in it for the team, and it's like they're as happy for themselves when they do well as they are for their teammate when they do well?
Well, I saw it firsthand in Boston in 2004. I was on a World Series championship team there, and one of the reasons that season stands out to me is because the team was pretty unselfish. So I was in a pretty strict platoon with Trot Nixon at the time, who was a much better baseball player than me. But I was pretty good against left-handed pitching. And, you know, I think this is a guy that, like, had 25, 30 homer years and was just an excellent baseball player on a really good team. But when I pinch hit for him, first thing I felt was Trot Nixon's arm around my shoulder, and you know, that made me feel pretty good about that. I would come in and pinch run for Manny Ramirez or play D for Manny Ramirez. you know, obviously I would get pinch hit for sometimes, and you could start to feel how guys pulled for each other in that lineup and on that bench. Same thing was true of that bullpen. So I kind of saw it, and I saw how it could work and be influential in a winning season. But I don't know that I've seen it to this level, especially guys that have had the kind of success that they've had around here in the biggest moments, being willing to kind of, you know, pass the baton to the next guy who can also do the job.
It's an interesting comp that you use, and it's a great example from 2004 on that World Series Boston team. Does sometimes, like, the chip on the shoulder help create that sort of bond among guys? Like, I look back to last season, and you guys weren't picked to win the division and obviously blew it out of the water and win 107. Same can be said about that 04 Red Sox team. You guys had expectations, but the way it went down in 03 and then down 3-0 in the playoffs, does that sort of chip help guys pull for each other and create that bond in the clubhouse?
It can. And I think the chip you're alluding to is sort of being bet against, right?
Right, exactly.
Bet against heavily. But I think more than anything else, it's intentional on the part of the players. They discuss it. They care about one another. So that's the first and most important factor. And then we've been rewarded through this. And if the rewards aren't there, and what I mean by that is if you pinch hit for Lamont Wade Jr., who's swinging the bat really well with Donovan Solano, do that 5 or 6 times and nothing good happens, it's really hard to have that culture take shape. Mm-hmm. But because Donovan comes up and hits a big home run in Oakland, and Lamont had countless big hits, and Darren Ruff comes in the game last night, drives the ball to right field, then drives another one to right center field, they realize that they are on the roster to make those kind of contributions. And then they're making them, and that's what makes it go. So I don't want to lose sight of the fact that these guys have set the stage for each other. They've created the environment, but then they've gone out on the field and they've done it. And that's what's made it work so far. And again, we're a long way to go. We have to continue to invest in these sort of unselfish behaviors. And we will, but it's not easy. And I don't think it's something that you can just flip the switch on.
So you mentioned 2004 and the Boston Red Sox. I have to ask you, what are your memories of Manny Ramirez cutting off Johnny Damon's throw from the outfield?
It's one of the funniest, most entertaining plays I've ever seen on the baseball field. And to really, really appreciate it, and I don't know how many listeners really understand, like, Johnny's personality and Manny's personality, but to truly appreciate that moment, you have to know the both of them. They're like, Manny's one of the wackiest, most playful, most interesting human beings I've ever been around. Johnny's not far behind. So the two of them kind of having that moment, and everybody was so invested in those two players in Boston at the time for a lot of good reasons. It was just hilarious. My memory is that it was one of the funniest plays I'd ever seen.
Were you on the bench? And if so, were guys like, did he just – because for the people that don't remember, Johnny Damon was throwing it in the infield, and Manny Ramirez cut him off, and Manny Ramirez is probably like 20 feet from him, and he just cut off the throw. Were you guys thinking, did that just happen?
Well, it wasn't just that he cut off the throw. It's he dove to catch
the throw. Yeah, right, right. Yeah,
that's
yeah.
Right.
Of course. In the dugout, everybody's like, wait, did that just actually happen? Because you'll never see anything like it ever again. It's a once-in-a-lifetime or once-in-forever thing that happened.
It was amazing. Hey, look, I know you I wanted to ask you this because you've talked a lot about the unwritten rules, and I don't want to get into your stance on it because you've already said what your stance is on it. I want to go back to when you were playing because it was much different back then. And, look, it was much different before that and before that. They're always changing and evolving. Did you think the same way as you do now when you first started in the game and felt like, you know, I just got to go along to get along? I can't say anything. This is the way baseball is running. Or did you kind of slowly evolve and change with the times and started thinking, you know what, this really isn't right, and there's really no place for it in baseball?
I think I had a lot of different opinions when I was in my 20s and 30s. And I need to acknowledge that. And look, like, I was part of a culture that was physically confrontational with players on other teams, right? That was something that happened. You know, you mentioned 04. Like, there's well-documented cases of of like interactions with the Yankees over the 2003 and 2004 season. But I think what I was always really aware of is that change is good and progress is good. And more specifically, when it comes to things like throwing a baseball 100 miles an hour at somebody because you're upset about something else, I think I got the concept that that didn't make a whole lot of sense by way of example.
Yeah.
But there were a lot of rules that I didn't think made sense at the time, and I may have been less a part of the solution at the time. But look, I'm 46. I was 25 and thought a lot of different things. So I also make a ton of allowances for the way our players feel about things. And when they have differing opinions to me, I respect them because their minds are working differently than mine is. And it doesn't make mine right and theirs wrong. It's a good opportunity to talk about why change is good for the support. Excuse me, why change is good for the sport.
Yep.
And what we can do to create more progress.
Not all guarantees are created equal. That's what makes the Total Trust Guarantee from Speedy Oil Change and Auto Service so special. It gives you 20/20 vision into the work we do. And now, you can get $10 off any 17-point oil change. Go to speedyoil.com/save for details. Speedy Oil Change and Auto Service, where you're in and out and back on the road with full service and total trust. Most vehicles discount off regular price. See store for details. See website for details on the Total Trust Guarantee.
It's interesting you say that because my whole thought on it, Gabe, was in just as a spectator watching football and basketball where games get out of hand and it's at the end of the game. You don't want to embarrass somebody. Those are timed sports, though. You can't, if you're down 25 in a basketball game with a minute 30 left, you are not coming back. There is no possible way you're coming back. Baseball isn't like that. Baseball, you have every opportunity to come back from any deficit, however unlikely it may be. And my thought was always in baseball, well, if you want us to stop trying, then you stop trying. Like, if you're just going to go up there and stand with your bat on your shoulders and you want us to end the game that way, that's cool. We won't do anything either. We'll just, you know, get it over with and we'll end the game. But nobody ever stops trying. They're always trying to score, however unlikely it may be. And that's why I always made the distinction between timed sports and baseball. Baseball, it may be unlikely, but it's possible. And if you're going to try, why can't I try?
Right. And look, when we boil it down to the most basic level, everybody wants to see the best athletes in the world compete. And so that's, look, you're right. I have kind of made my feelings known on this topic. Doesn't make any sense to like go over each one of those individually again. But what I will say is that I don't think anybody can argue with how cool it is to watch the best players in the world compete with all of their tools. And that's really all I would
say.
A couple more minutes here with Gabe Kapler on the UMA guest line. So one of the sort of fun things that has happened with the change of the game is when games do get out of hand, you get position players pitching. It used to be like once every 10 years. I know you don't ever want to give up 15 runs or lose a ball game, but did Albert Pujols pitching the other day like create some levity? Did it make it more palatable at the end of that game just because it was such an entertaining thing for everyone?
Absolutely. Look, like a game when you're getting your ass kicked is no fun, and it's no fun until, you know, the next day comes. But it does make it a little bit easier when you can smile a little about some cool things that are happening on the field. Like a Hall of Fame pitcher pitching to a potential Hall of Famer in Evan Longoria. And that's really how I thought about it. Longoria goes up to the plate. Like, this is very cool. Albert Pujols and Longo having this moment. Longo then asking Albert to sign the ball. Albert signing the ball. It's just, we talk about good sportsmanship. I mean, that's it at its finest. And then the last thing I'll say about this is when you have position players come in and pitch like that, it's not actually stopping competing. It's sort of stopping competing in that game, but you're still competing in the season, right?
Right.
What the Cardinals are doing there is they're saying, Albert Pujols pitches, we have one less bullpen arm to pitch. That person is fresh for tomorrow. What we're saying by having Luis Gonzalez go out there and pitch is that we're going to have this tough, rocky series where bullpens are going to be really important. This is our way of competing in the season. And at the same time, we can have a little fun. We can laugh a little bit. We can watch Luis Gonzalez throw the ball 40 miles an hour and get some of the weirdest swings that you'll ever see on a baseball field. So some cool things happen, And, you know, we were able to go into Colorado having had that moment as a group. I'm glad we did.
I know you touched on this, but I'm curious to get your thoughts on having to tell Luis Gonzalez he's going back down to AAA. That's got to be the worst thing to do as a manager, that, and then send a guy down or tell him DFA'd, whatever the case may be. But especially when a guy's playing that well, it's hard to make a case you guys are better off without him up here. He played that well. How does that conversation go when somebody does everything they possibly could do to stay up, yet they don't?
It was honest. It was honest both ways. Mm-hmm. And I thought the honesty that Luis showed in the conversation was really impressive. So instead of saying, no, I get it, and no problem, I'm going to go down to AAA and work my ass off and get back here as soon as possible, he expressed disappointment. Mm-hmm. And he told me that, like, this, he did know how well he was playing, and he did know how many contributions he was making to our roster. And he was able to blend that with a really good understanding about how roster management works and how challenging it is to be a young, optionable player when nobody else on the roster is in the same position. So it was cool. It was a nice blend of, yeah, I get it, and I'm also really disappointed, and I wish this wasn't happening.
Yeah, absolutely. And before I let you go, I know you've got a lot of mileage out of the beard mustache thing. I want to ask you what it says. Not if a mustache is a beard or a beard's a mustache. What it says about somebody, because you're saying something with your facial hair. I mean, you have a beard. It's finely manicured. Some guys have beards, not finely manicured. Some guys have just mustaches. Some guys go Abe Lincoln. They go the full beard without the mustache. I do all kinds of stuff. What is a mustache? What does a straight mustache say about somebody?
It's a bold play. I don't know, because, you know, obviously, like, my most formative years are, like, 80s and 90s. And I think if you went back to the 70s, it's probably much more mainstream.
Yep.
And look, I collected baseball as a kid. That means I was collecting the cards of Don Mattingly and Wade Boggs. Those guys pulled that off. It was really impressive. They look great in them. There are some guys on our team who – maybe don't look so great, but it's still a lot of fun. And I think if you don't take facial hair too seriously and just are playful with it, it's the best way to go about it.
All right, favorite card when you opened the pack? What was like, oh, hey, that was a great pack?
Crime Dog.
Fred McGriff. Good call.
Fred McGriff. Gabe, I used to spend hours in a local toy store, and they had the Donruss cards with the clear pack, and I'd take my fingernail and go through all the cards so I could see who was in there before I bought that pack. They're like sick of me. They're like, are you going to buy something? I go, well, let me go through this last pack and see if there's anybody worth buying in here. I was a big my brother's 10 years younger than me, so it's something we could do together. So I'd take him down there, and I'd get him doing the same thing I was doing. So cards are so much fun. I miss that they're not a big deal anymore.
Well, you guys have to answer the same question. Like, who would have excited you to pull out of the pack?
I mean, I got cards when I was really – I mean, I was probably 80s, like late 70s, early 80s. So if I got – there was three guys, Ricky Henderson, Rod Carew, and George Brett. Those were like my – those are like my guys. I loved Henderson, but like probably Carew or Brett. Like, if I got a Carew or Brett card, then I was like, I'm good. I don't really need anybody else. Those are my two guys, and – we're good to go.
You know, the one that got me is I opened a pack once. I had an old box I got for Christmas, and it was like an 86 pack, which is before I was even born. But I loved the card. It was a sliding into home pitcher. Remember Otis Nixon? Played for the Braves for a number of years for the Cleveland Indians. He had a great face. He had a gnarly look as he was sliding into home plate with the dirt around him. I think Otis Nixon, one of my favorites.
Although I do got to say, Gabe, Billy Ripken card was pretty cool, too.
Billy Ripken's good.
That was cool. The Billy Ripken card was cool. And speaking of mustaches and baseball cards, you can go back, and I think we just talked about Crime Dog. We talked about Ricky Henderson. I don't think Otis Nixon had a mustache, if I remember right. He didn't.
No, I don't think so.
But it's kind of cool. Like, for Mustache May, we're raising, you know, mental health awareness. We should always be talking about those players and those packs and those mustaches.
That's right.
Awesome,
Pete Vukovic had a nice mustache,
good
too.
Call. Gabe, it was a lot of fun, man. We always appreciate the time. And good luck tonight and the rest of the series. And we'll talk to you later, man. Thanks so much.
Thanks for the time.
Thanks, Gabe. Appreciate it, man.
Oh, good stuff, dude.
Not all guarantees are created equal. That's what makes the Total Trust Guarantee from Speedy Oil Change and Auto Service so special. It gives you 20/20 vision into the work we do. And now, you can get $10 off any 17-point oil change. Go to speedyoil.com/save for details. Speedy Oil Change and Auto Service, where you're in and out and back on the road with full service and total trust. Most vehicles discount off regular price. See store for details. See website for details on the Total Trust Guarantee.